You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, my beautiful friends. Glad you're here with me. Today, I'll talk some money. I'll give you the latest update in the best movie ever. And of course, we're going to talk about what happened in Minneapolis. But let's start with some funny stuff, huh? A gal named Just a Nurse, that's her handle, Just a Nurse. She said, I'm broke in Monopoly, and my husband just asked if I want to earn $100. I feel like me and that guy would get along. I like Monopoly, and I like negotiating, too. Trump has said the president of Colombia needs to watch his ass. We're still doing funny stuff. Evidently, he said that because Colombia has been selling cocaine to the U.S. for a long time. But it sure fooled me because I thought was Trump was saying for Gustavo to watch his ass because that's his name, Gustavo. Gustavo Petro. That's the guy's name. How about that? Of all names, we're over there taking control of oil fields, and this guy's name is short for petroleum. But I thought he might have been saying that because Petro was caught with a tranny holding hands in Panama City a few years ago. And after what was just done to Venezuela, he probably should have somebody checking his Earl. You know what I mean? But he was caught on video holding hands with a transsexual in Panama City a few years ago, and he has not confirmed nor denied having an affair. But come on, amigo. Like, come on. You were holding hands with a transsexual. Whenever you see a couple holding hands, or let's say a couple old enough to drink and they're holding hands, that's pretty much a tell that they do it. Like when you're at the mall, or let's say you're at a college football tailgate and people are walking around, you see some old married couple holding hands. I'm talking older, like Silver Fox older. And they're all giddy. That dude is almost always on his second marriage or third marriage. Am I right? Because holding hands is, if it's indicative of anything, that couple indeed has a healthy sex life. At least that's how I see it. I could be wrong. But my wish for all of you is that you are tomarse de la manos with your corazón, which is holding hands with your sweetheart, like the Colombian president does with transsexuals. But speaking of big booties, I don't know if we were talking about big booties, but we are now. Or maybe it's Colombia that has me saying, I don't know. But in case we weren't, there's an account on X. Let's see. A white woman. Her name is, she goes by E. She said this. She said, I just got hit on by a black guy. It's over. Like, actually, give me the Ozempic. I'm done playing games. Let's talk about why are you gay? Gavin Newsom's newest X account. It's the goal of this new X account. He calls it Gavin's press office officially. It's their goal to tweet in the manner that Trump does, but they're not any good at it. They responded to a post about a fraud investigation being launched in California, and they said, we'll make sure Grindr servers are ready. Is that intended to be an insult? If so, that's not very progressive of you, Gavin. Who saw the New Year's Eve broadcast on ESPN where they showed two guys with beards kissing at midnight? Did you see that? What's funny about that is Scott Van Pelt tried to hide the fact that it grossed him out. He was like, oh, what do we have? Oh, we have love in the air. he busted and he said, what do we have here? Oh, love in the air. Happy New Year, everyone. So good. And while we're talking sports, did you see that Ravens-Steelers game, the last game of the NFL regular season on Sunday night last week? That was about as good a football game as I've ever watched. I think Aaron Rodgers is starting to look like the next Philip Rivers. I wish all football games were like that. There was another great one on Thursday night in the college football semis between Mississippi and Miami. It was great. It was such a great game. You know, something I think about? I just called Ole Miss Mississippi. It seems like an outsider would be able to piss off an insider if they kept referring to Ole Miss as Mississippi. That's what I would do if I were their opponent. Make that bulletin board material. Like, I'm not using your cutesy little nickname. I'm going to be a rebel. Anyway, I bring it up because Chris Fowler, he was talking about one of the players growing up with the Superdome in his backyard. I believe it was Rizzy, who's a Miami linebacker. When I was in kindergarten, we had to write three wishes. This was an exercise we did where you had to write three wishes on a piece of paper and then draw the corresponding picture. And I don't remember what my first two wishes were because nobody ever brought up the first two again. But my family thought my third wish was so funny that they talked about it for years. And that wish was to have the Superdome in my backyard. And unlike Fowler, I meant it literally. That's what I wanted when I was five. Since we're going to talk about Venezuela, let's there's a meme I saw the other day that I want to I'll wrap up the funny stuff. Diddy was greeting Maduro in prison, and he was holding a little bottle of baby oil, and he said, "Hi, Nicholas, I have a new type of oil we can try. Bad boy for life." It was a meme, obviously, so I added the voice myself. Don't ask. All right, let's talk about money before we get into Venezuela and Minneapolis. On April 8th last year, 2025, the S&P 500 was down over 15% on the year, which is the fourth worst start to a year the S&P has ever had. And the reason was because of all the trade war and tariff talk. The S&P had dropped 21% very fast. In fact, it was the second fastest bear market ever. Two-thirds of investors that were surveyed believed that we were headed to a recession. So the bears were out in force. And there hadn't been that many bears since March of 2009. So that's how pessimistic people were on the outlook of our economy. But then Trump declared a 90-day pause on higher tariffs that he had planned on all these different countries except for China. So on that day, the stock market rose 9.5%. That was the third highest one-day gain since 1950. So after that brief downturn that we had, where people started panic selling, which is never a good idea, the bulls came roaring back like a lion, like a bull, and we had a 38% rally to where the S&P finished the year up 17% and proceeded to hit 38 all-time highs, one of the greatest comebacks in history. So it might be a good time to check on your portfolio, see what it did in 2025, and what you're hoping is that it did 17% or better, because if not, especially for those of you who are active traders, you buy and sell, you do a lot of transactions, you likely wasted a lot of your precious time if you were, in fact, unable to achieve a 17% return, because it means what that means is that you could have just put the money in an S&P 500 index and done better, ticker SPY on the S&P 500 index. Total returns for 2025, the S&P 500, as I said, up 17%. That's U.S. stocks, emerging markets up 34.4%. European stocks were up 36%. It was the biggest outperformance of international stocks versus U.S. stocks since 1993. So you want to diversify. Gas prices in the U.S. have moved down to $2.89 a gallon. That's their lowest level in over 4 years. It's national average. I'm sure they're paying a lot more in Cali. Rents are down slightly around the country, 1.1 to 1.3% as of late 2025 and into 26. And that's driven by all the apartments that are available and slowing demand and just creating a more renter-friendly market for us. But prices are still higher than pre-pandemic levels. What percentage of houses do you think are mortgage-free? 40%. Of houses in the U.S. are mortgage-free. That seems high, right? The average used car today costs $30,000. What are you reading right now? That's one of my favorite questions to ask people, one for which you should always have an answer, you young kings especially. I am reading The Secret of Secrets by Dan Brown. And like any book by Brown, it's a page-turner. Although I have to stop often to look up a lot of the things he mentions about the places he talks about in the book, because it's all set in Prague, which is my favorite city. I've spent a lot of time there. And it's really cool to be able to visualize, like when he's walking across the Charles Bridge and encounters a golem, I can, and then jumps in the vault of a river. I can see all that because I've walked those paths. It's really cool. And he jumps into the vault of a river from the window of his hotel room. I'm not giving the book away. This is in the first few pages. And he's staying, he jumps out of the window of the Four Seasons Hotel, which is where he's staying, which I've never stayed at. That's above my pay grade. But get this, I started getting ads in my social media feeds for the Four Seasons in Prague with a book now button kind of thing. I assume it's because a few weeks ago I posted in my stories that I was about to start reading Brown's book. So that's got to be why they started bombarding me with ads. I don't know, but it replaced all the ads for meeting black singles. So I got that going for me. You know, when I used to see people talking politics on Facebook all the time, and I never once entered the fray, which might surprise you. Even though I had a lot to say, I didn't enter the fray. I was tempted, of course, but it just, because I thought I had good arguments, but you're not going to win arguments. It's so stupid. It just kind of seems, it always seemed to me kind of tacky to talk politics. And as usual, those who are most passionate generally know the least. And it turns out that talking politics turns a lot of people off, right? Political discussions. So I get it. Like the guy who wrote a review for this podcast and said that I used to provide valuable information, but now it's just another Trumper. But the way I see it now, many of us didn't enter the fray until we felt compelled to do so because of what was happening in our country. We were a dead country, dead, and now we're the hottest country in the world. I wish I could imitate Trump, but I can't. And now that we've jumped in and started to talk about politics, all these internet dads, I think about those who are clueless, and I wonder, do you just not like movies? Like, I know you have more important matters to attend to in your life. Most of us do, myself included. But the entertainment value of what we're living through is so high. It's so much better than what a Netflix movie would give you. So I don't get how you don't take a little time to watch when real life is better than any movie you could watch. And I think the movies about the best movie ever are going to be epic. Like, you remember that Captain Phillips movie? It was about a captain who had his cargo ship hijacked off the coast of Somalia by Somali pirates. It was a good movie. But what are the movies going to be like about capturing Maduro? How did our special forces manage to capture the Venezuelan communist dictator, capture him in a foreign country without anybody getting killed on our side? Like, imagine if Russia or China sent in a bunch of helicopters 100 feet off the ground, swooped right into the White House or Mar-a-Lago and took Trump, and none of them get killed? Or our commandos, as badass as Hegseth looks? I mean, what happened there? How did they pull that off? I guess we're going to have to wait for the movie. But it's so incredible. I do think some of them were injured, but not killed. We must have had an agreement with them prior to, like, hey, you guys can talk tough after we do this, kind of like they did in the Middle East, you know, where they bomb something to retaliate, but no Americans are killed. I got to think that, like, the Darcy lady, that the new vice president there, probably made an agreement with us that we're going to do this and you're not going to kill anybody, if I had to guess, because I just don't see how nobody dies. But let's talk more about Venezuela. So, as you know, we captured Maduro, and he's been taken to New York to stand trial. And I believe they got him on drug charges, and they said something about machine guns and a few other charges. But there's a lot of confusion as to why we did that. Some say we captured Maduro because he helped to facilitate all this narco trafficking. But there's speculation it could have also had something to do with the 2020 election in America. We'll have to wait and see on that. But what we do know is we've started to cite the Monroe Doctrine, now referred to by many as the Donroe Doctrine, which is where we help, what we do is establish ourselves as part of our foreign policy that we're going to run interference on our enemies in this hemisphere, in the Western Hemisphere. It basically positions us as the dominant power in the West. And in the process, we're as we capture these oil fields, we're hurting China in the process, and possibly Iran too. So I'm sure you've seen they might be having a revolution there right now, a big uprising, but I don't know how you know how strong it is. Like, if on Iranian news, they showed a bunch of No Kings protesters in 20 different major cities in America, they would probably think we're about to overthrow Trump, right? So I just don't know how you gauge whether or not how many, what percentage of people are protesting and whether or not it's going to be successful, if it's real, whether they're paid agitators, who knows? China had a delegation in Caracas, Venezuela, right before Maduro was captured. And they might have still been in town when Americans got there, when our special forces arrived. I don't know, but I heard that part of the reason we went in could have been because Maduro was dancing and kind of mocking Trump. Trump thought he was mocking the way he danced. Did you see Maduro dancing to Don't Worry, Be Happy and getting real cocky? Yeah, Trump didn't stand for that. And he said something, Maduro said, come and get me, you coward, that kind of thing. That's not smart, Maduro. I don't know if that's when Trump decided to take action or not, but if it was Maduro not taking Trump seriously when he was told that he could, this is speculation again, but he was told that he could surrender peacefully, which would have, that would have at least spared the lives of some of his security team, because as I understand it, we killed like 50 to 100 of them, and they were all Cubans, part of the communist network, I guess, global communism. But it's still fog of war, so who knows? But the there was something funny that happened there too. So, you know, the Biden administration put a $25 million bounty on Maduro. And so now it's, I've seen the joke where does the Biden administration owe Trump $25 million because he got him? But the whole thing was pretty strategic because they laid out the indictment by the Department of Justice. And what that did was made this not a declaration of war, but more of a law enforcement thing. While the U.S. assembled the largest armada around Venezuela the world's ever seen. As it pertains to China, the thinking is that this action by the United States would hinder their ambitions of invading Taiwan. You know, we're showing our might. We're showing that we're the real superpower. And that also threatens China's aspirations of AI supremacy. You know, I never like to say I told you so. That's not something I say. But man, if I could talk to the communist that I used to work for, he used to tell me, and this is around the time Obama was elected, he would say that we should be more like Venezuela. And he was dead serious. And I remember telling him, Hugo Chavez is worth $4 billion, and a third of their country doesn't have access to clean drinking water. And he brushed that off as nonsense. And then he told me that they have free healthcare, and they just made higher education free at the university level. And that was in 07, they did that. And then in 09, they banned private ownership of guns. And then in 2014, they put the opposition leaders in prison. That's what communists do. And then just last month, Alfredo Diaz died. He was an opposition leader, died in custody. And he had spent over a year in solitary confinement. I guess solitary is what they do to political prisoners. I don't know how that works, but they've actually had 17 political prisoners die in Venezuela since 2014. They tried to jail the opposition leader here, of course, the communists did. I remember Tucker Carlson saying, if you import the third world, you become the third world. And our politics is certainly reflecting that. We've become more third world-like. But this time, they were only able to get the opposition's supporters put in prison, not the opposition leader. Speaking of, did you see the January 6th vigil held by Democrats? There were a couple of great posts worth sharing with you about J6. One was, this was a reshare of something that Norm MacDonald said 5 years ago. He said, I loved when the violent terrorists made sure to respect the velvet ropes in Statuary Hall. That's the hall in the middle of the Capitol. Remember, everybody stayed in a single file line. Comedians are so good at seeing through BS, right? Another comedian, Adam Carolla, said this. He said, we almost lost our democracy, and then they lost the documents about losing our democracy. Because they deleted all the files, right? And then pardoned everybody. I actually know a guy who was at the Capitol on J6. He didn't go inside, but he was there and showed me some selfies with the Capitol in the background. But he said they never went after him, thankfully. You know who else they didn't go after? The guys who brought the best props. They have five guys on video putting the gallows up that they said was going to be used to hang Mike Pence. Those guys did no jail time because they couldn't find them. I think they were probably searching on that same golf course where OJ was looking for Nicole's killer. Those sneaky theater kids. Did you see the 60 Minutes interview where they asked J6ers why they were there that day? What was the intent? What was their purpose of being there? You have not. Communists are evil bastards. Le Pen in France, Macron's opposition, facing a 4-year prison sentence, pending appeal. Bolsonaro in Brazil, 27-year sentence. Tommy Robinson in the UK, he did 18 months. I've seen where many of the AfD party in Germany, which is so-called far right, they've had a lot of unexpected deaths, but I don't know if they were politically motivated or not. I'll tell you what was political was what they did in Romania to Georgescu, the guy who won the 2024 election and had it overturned in favor of EU, wanted to install their favorite candidate, the one that was loyal to the EU. You know why they did that? You know what their justification for it was, for overturning the election? Russian interference. They said that Russians were helping the far-right candidate on TikTok. That's true. They said that. And they annulled the election, threw out his election victory because of that, and proceeded to install the guy they wanted. People seem surprised that Trump is doing what he said he would do. And I believe that's because all the effeminate leaders we've had. And doing what you say you're going to do, that's inherently a masculine trait. We raise boys to be a man of your word, whereas there's no such equivalent for women. Being a woman of your word is a phrase you have never heard. I know I haven't. And there's a reason for that. And that reason is feelings, which determined just about everything during the revolution. The example I like to use related to women's feelings, I know you've probably heard me say this before, but if you were to ask a girl out on a date on a Wednesday for a date on Friday night, if her feelings change between the time she agreed to the date with you and that scheduled date for Friday night, you're not taking her on a date. And she would feel completely justified in canceling on you because she doesn't feel the same way she did on Wednesday when she agreed to a date with you. She'll be washing her hair on Friday night because her feelings changed. A man doesn't have the luxury of living according to the fleeting emotion, his emotional whims. He's got to be principled if he's to have any success in the world and build himself up. Why is that? Because a man has to develop himself if he is to attract a high-quality tenderoni. While a woman would be wise to preserve herself and unlearn all the feminine nonsense she was taught in school that she's been exposed to all her life, which we've all succumbed to in one way or another. The manipulations of the feminist movement. I have. I know I have. Oh, you have a master's degree? You went from an 8 to a 9. Said no man ever. A man has been taught since he was tiny that if he is a man, he is to keep his word. As I've always said, a man who doesn't keep his word should find something else to call himself. If he said he's taking you out on a Friday night, he better have a damn good excuse for backing out. Like a death in the family or something. Otherwise, he's less of a man. Yes, there are women who keep their word and men who don't. I'm speaking in generalities, which is how smart people speak. So I'm trying to be like them. With the understanding that, of course, there are exceptions. Don't be the exception guy. But with all the femme that we've had in leadership positions, it damn near cost us the ability to speak freely. Everything downstream from censorship is bad. So as soon as we saw that, well, that's a lot of the reason many of us became compelled to speak out after Elon brought back free speech. If you want to censor hate speech, you're a bad guy. And sadly, you do so because you're not smart enough to know what comes next. History can't be your guide if you don't know history. Not having free speech would allow governments to do whatever they want to do. And you could say something. Nobody be taping your mouth shut. You can say whatever you want, but you'll go to jail. Like you might say, hey, how are we benefiting from importing people with an average IQ that would render them mentally retarded in our country? And they get here and they get on the dole. Over 80% of Somalis are supported by us, the taxpayer. How is that serving our interests? Yeah, you would be canceled you'd probably be thrown behind bars asking those sorts of questions, which is another thing we should talk about. The communists, you may have noticed, they try to poo-poo the idea that our current leaders are America first, which just shows us where they stand. They are not with America. What country would elect leaders that don't put their citizens first? But that's how insanely left, they won the culture war. That's how all that becomes mainstream, to where it was a mainstream opinion that the illegal aliens that Biden imported should be treated better than Americans. How? Or they'll say, America first, more like America only. Yeah, because that's possible. Like, you have no dealings with other countries. So you speak out at your own risk, at the risk of being put behind bars. Who's to say those of us who were censored in 2020 won't be put behind bars under a future communist leader? That's very possible. The other thing about soft, effeminate leaders is their words don't carry any weight. If they don't keep their word, how could it? You remember Obama's red line in Syria? I'll refresh you if you don't, but he said that a red line for us is if we start seeing a bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized. And then a year later, August 2013, the Syrian government launched a sarin nerve gas attack in a suburb of Damascus and killed 1,400 people, including many children. In other words, they crossed Obama's red line. And what did Obama do? Nothing. I was actually, in 2015, I was in Israel, and I was right on the border. I was in the Golan Heights, and there were two UK military guys there on watch. They had these big old binoculars or telescope or something. And we could hear bombs going off in Damascus, because Damascus isn't far from that northeast corner of Israel. But seeing that weakness of Obama's emboldened Putin. That's what happens when they accurately judge that you're weak. They take advantage. And they proceeded to take Crimea in March of 2014. And then Biden, I don't know if you remember this, he would tell our adversaries, don't. Primarily Iran, but they did. And he didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. They may as well have agreed to a Friday night date and backed out. Whereas Trump, he does what he says he's going to do. And it's so refreshing. It's toxically masculine and beautiful. The Minneapolis thing. If you haven't seen the documentary called The Fall of Minneapolis, I recommend it. An LBG cutie was shot in the face by an ICE officer, as I'm sure you've all seen. And there was nothing more predictable than the communists saying it was murder and conservatives saying that the cop acted in self-defense. It took, 24 hours, give or take, for the cop's body cam footage to be released. And you can clearly see the late lesbian's butch wife taunting the officers while blocking traffic. They'd been sitting there for 3 minutes, according to a video CNN released, and it was positioned perpendicular to the oncoming traffic. You know, advocating for police body cams had to be the most obvious communist own goal that we've ever seen. Like a reverse Uno, because the problem is, as the great Catherine Marr said in her TED Talk, you know, the CEO of, what is it, PBS or NPR, I think? Yeah, Catherine Marr, CEO of NPR. She said, you can't let the truth get in the way, or you can't. Truth is a distraction, is what she said. And we're seeing how that body cam footage, now that it's been released, we're seeing the truth. And of course, this was predictable. Once the facts eventually came out, they were trying to tell us the ICE officers gave conflicting demands and the ICE officer wasn't hit by the car and other nonsense. Do you think they eventually saw this body cam footage and said, whoa, that's new information, I changed my mind? No. For leftists, truth is not a value. I've been saying this for 20 years now, that leftists value equality more than truth. But they're not going to stop at equality, because it's about power and money and more power. You're not going to get honesty. They don't have that skill set that would enable them to be a maker, like the money-making skill set. So you become a taker and you manipulate the system for your own benefit. But I guess I was even a little naive 20 years ago, because although I understood communism enough to know what was to come if we allowed it, I could not have predicted that they would import millions of people from the third world and then brainwash their supporters to put their lives on the line to protect those imported voters. Who could have predicted that? It's all team play, and we're seeing this play out. Like, nobody's taking back their comments now that they've seen this video. They're on a team, and they're going to continue supporting that team. Michael Schellenberger was saying recently that left-wing authoritarianism is almost identical to narcissism. He says the entitlement is we decide what people can say. And then the grandiosity part of narcissism would be we're the good people. And then the psychopathy aspect of it is we don't care about the harm that we cause. He said the playbook is charismatic narcissists mesmerize with their liberation language, and then psychopaths enforce the rules with censorship and firing people, canceling people, whatever. I saw where one particular deranged awful, she said this. She said, genuinely asking, what authority did ICE have to stop Renee Good? They aren't police. They aren't saying they suspected her of immigration violations. And somebody replied to her saying, this country is filled with emotional retards. How on earth can you be confused as to how they have the authority to stop her? Do you think ICE is supposed to be like, well, we tried to arrest the illegals, but Renee was there and she got in the way. There was nothing we could do. Carmine Sabia said this. She said, one thing we know for certain, if Renee Good had been killed by an illegal alien, it wouldn't have even made the news. Oh, and commies make up words to suit their aims. Remember when equity got a new definition? Well, this latest incident brought about legal observer. Had you ever seen that term before? No, you hadn't. And that's because it's a term created by communists, just like equity. There was even a woman who said that she feels wrong for paying her respects to Renee Good. So she went out that night to some support group or something. I don't know if they were protesting or what they were doing, but she said that she feels wrong that the woman who was killed by an ICE agent in Minnesota, she feels wrong paying her respects because she was a white woman who was privileged, and white tears aren't helpful. So she was white too. So she's saying her white tears aren't helpful, but she was out there supporting her. We have so much mental illness among leftists. Who knew tears had different colors? Let me leave you with this thought, since I've talked quite a bit about awfuls and their allied cuties. As somebody who's been called a misogynist before, this is from an account called Autism Capital. He said, curious what percentage of misogyny is just men not liking white liberal women versus actually not liking women. You don't often see misogyny against Eastern European women or big booty Latinas. Catch me outside. Yup. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless y'all. I'll chat back at you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.